dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. It's always a delight to be able to talk with my friend Matt Brodsky, a distinguished Middle East expert and voluble contributor to the public policy debate on what's going on there and what it means for us, notably in places like National Review, the Weekly Standard, and The Federalist. We're always pleased to have him with us. And Matt, welcome back. It's so good to have you.
Great to be with you.
I had an opportunity to be at the Jewish Institute for the National Security of America, JINSA, dinner last night, where the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, was among those honored. He said some interesting things, new to me, I have to say, Matt, and perhaps to our listeners as well. And I wanted to just talk through with you what's currently going on vis-a-vis a kind of retooling of American policy towards the disaster in Syria. Specifically, Secretary Pompeo talked about the fact that the United States was not going to put, I think he said, a single dollar into the immense reconstruction aid program for Syria as long as the Iranians were in place there. Tell us what's going on in that regard and otherwise.
First of all, we've seen a definite focus now from the administration on how to work out this vexing problem of getting to a Syrian endgame. A lot of that has to do with the appointment of Syrian envoys from Ambassador James Jeffrey and Joel Rayburn moving over from the National Security Council over to the State Department. And what they've done is created an effort that focuses on first of all, uniform messaging, the whole administration, all parts of it saying that it's not just about preventing the use of chemical weapons, it's preventing any slaughter at all would be seen as a dramatic escalation. That's one part. Another part is the behind the scenes diplomacy that we've seen going on, which has been a very large concentration, including with Turkey, that the U.S. was able to get a deal there, but also by creating what is called the Syria Small Group that has come into existence. And this consists of Middle Eastern allies and some European states. And what it has is a list of principles that they've agreed to in general, which says that there can't be any reconstruction funding that goes into areas held by the regime, because if it's held by the regime, it's held by Iran and Russia. And that any type of reconstruction must be tied to a credible and unalterable political process, which is the Geneva process that has already been led by the UN, but was never empowered or invigorated by the previous administration. And of course, there's also the military dimension where the U.S. has been beefing up its presence in the northeast of Syria in response to Russian threats. Now, this is important with the Syria small group as far as reconstruction, because we know that Russia's plan and Iran's plan since the July 16th Helsinki summit is to try to pretend that the war is over, to try to gain as much funding as possible. And this is standing in its way.
Yeah. Fascinating. Let me turn to another subject that's in your wheelhouse, Matt. In neighboring Turkey, there has been an incident, it appears, involving a journalist by the name of Jamal Khashoggi, who contributed to the Washington Post, Saudi journalist and critic of the regime. CNN is reporting today that, according to a U.S. official who obviously has breached all kinds of security considerations, has reported that American intelligence had intercepts of Saudi officials discussing a plan according to CNN, to lure this journalist back to Saudi Arabia. They got him into the consulate, Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Turkey. Not quite clear what happened after that. What can you tell us about this saga and what it might involve for Turkish-Saudi relations and perhaps our own with both countries?
Right. Well, the problem with this episode is, of course, we have been up until now primarily relying on the words of Saudi Arabia, who has had frankly, they've had it in for him, for Khashoggi, for a long time, given what he's been writing and his ties that are believed to the Muslim Brotherhood. And at the same time, the other party is, of course, Turkey, who is very much against Saudi Arabia because they, of course, are supporting the Muslim Brotherhood throughout the region and has a record of locking up more journalists than any other country in the world. So it's hard to take the word of one over the other at the moment, though it does seem to be, if it were to be carried out by Saudi Arabia, that being his assassination or any sort of physical harm, it would seem to be a rather brazen act that would be very, very difficult to hide, especially given the images we've seen of him going into the embassy, or even down to the latest reporting I've seen where it shows that he had been on his WhatsApp phone application prior to going in, and that since that moment, any of the messages he received, he has not looked at, which is odd if he were to be in fine health hiding some other place. So it's a mess to untangle, and it's going to require deft diplomacy on our part as far as how we're going to work around and through this issue.
Yeah. It raises, I guess, just in closing, Matt Brodsky, a larger question. There's been a lot of people, including, I think it's fair to say, the president and people around him, investing in Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia. There are reports that this plot to shall we say, neutralize Khashoggi in one form or another, was in fact ordered by the Crown Prince. I don't know if you can speak to that or not, but either way, what might the implications be for the hope that this man is not only a great reformer internally, but also a reliable partner for the United States in external matters as well?
Well, how the reform platform goes in the Saudi Arabian 2030 plan, it's still in its infancy. And the U.S. has seen many good, positive steps taken by MBS. However, you know, this is something that the United States needs to stand by a free press in countries. It's very important. And I think it would definitely cause a disruption in our relationship. Yet I still think that given the overall issues that we have to deal with in the region, specifically Iran, and the importance of Saudi Arabia setting a reforming example going forward for the rest of the Arab Middle East, it's important that we still work with them, but also show quite resolutely that this type of behavior is simply not going to be tolerated.
Matt, we have to leave that at that for the moment. I appreciate so much your time and your expertise. I look forward to your further reporting on these matters, and I hope we'll have a chance to visit with you again very soon.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gatt.